Hello and welcome to Enough Liquor, a podcast where we've had a catharticism, but we're not the types to kiss and catharticize as we discuss the greatest television show of all time, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
That was a tough one. and today we're tackling the 162nd and 163rd episodes in the series, The Monkey Show, Parts 1 and 2.
I don't know if cathartic is the word.
Oh my God. Coming out swinging. So good.
For real, man. I mean, this show, like that line, and then just the, you know, M-O-N-E-Y
being for not monkey, getting mine.
So fucking funny. And they're so basic, right? It's just like one of those things where it's like, again, on the page, you're just like, okay, it's funny, I guess, it's fine. And then it's just like the delivery just makes me laugh out loud every single time. And it's really lovely.
Yeah. And you know what is, I mean, like, we obviously, like, Stan is the closest we come to a fifth Golden Girl. He's a great actor. We talk about how great he and Bea Arthur are together for Bettleman. But
yeah.
I feel like it's not so often that we have one of those moments where it's like the choice to deliver the line in that way kind of like knocks it out of the park. And he's got a few of those, mostly related to the monkey, I think. But there's a couple times, and especially when he's talking to, Beefy. When he's talking to Gloria, and there's this added layer of like family dynamics where, like, I'm sure when Gloria had money, like, we get the sense that she was kind of a dick, and we know that Stan and Dorothy struggled. And so, like, imagine the satisfaction of that role reversal. Like, and my monkey, like, it's so good.
It's hysterical. Oh, there's so much to unpack here about Gloria. I mean, not to even, like, we're it's a totally different actress, right? We're in the two Gloria number two, right? But which is interesting that they went so hard in the direction of having a taller woman with a deeper voice to match Bea Arthur, right? I mean, I think it's like a fascinating choice. But anyway, before we even get into all of that, can you give a little bit of background? Because I know that this, and we discussed this with Matt Browning, this was part of like a Hurricane special, right? It was this tie-in on NBC from numerous shows, right? Can you give the history there?
Sure, I can. So it's called Hurricane Saturday. And this, I think, like, is very clear in this. Even if this is the only one, The Golden Girls is the only show you've seen, and things like, there's a clear sort of, like, big theme, and, like, Carol comes in from Empty Nest, and, like, they're at the TV station, and, like, Angelo's there. Like, it seems very, like, it's a lot of characters, actually. It's a lot of more characters than we usually see in Golden Girls episodes, because there's like Gloria and Dr. Halpern and all that. But so yeah, basically Hurricane Saturday was a programming block, a 2-hour crossover event on NBC, which feels very like huge of the time. And basically all of these three sitcoms, which was The Golden Girls, Empty Nest, and Nurses, which were intertwined in some other, like, they had crossovers more than once, but this was like the big night. And you can kind of imagine the promos for this. And basically, so obviously we have Carol on The Golden Girls. There's the crossover there. In the Empty Nest episode, Sophia is on it. And then in the Nurses episode, Rose is on it. I think Rose like shows up to help volunteer or something. And I don't know, Sophia was on Empty Nest a lot. So, it was this huge event, November 9th, 1991, from 8 to 10. So, so I think that maybe it gives a little bit, a little bit additional context there for, like, all the crossovers. But even when you look at the wiki for this episode of The Golden Girls, normally in, like, the cast section, it will have, like, the four girls and then, like, maybe Stan. But this also has, Dr. Halpern and Carol Weston and Angela, you know, like the number of characters featured is way more than it normally is.
And like, not only the number of characters, and we've seen at least a lot, maybe not that many, but a lot more characters when there is like, say, a party or they're entertaining for dinner at their house. But like, this is like, we've got the whole like TV studio. We've got like the background sets where I'm sure, again, you know, we have interns shaking the trees in the background or blowing a leaf blower and a fan. And then we've got the establishing shots of the hurricane. I mean, there's a much bigger, like, venue event to contain all those characters too, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the clips of the the Weather Channel, like, highlights, they're so, and they could reuse them, you know, like, they could use them for 2 hours. So why not?
Exactly. My God. And it was so, it was so quick. One of them was like, I swear it was like a second. They're like, remember there's a hurricane outside? Okay. This is a really long episode. We have to cut back to the action.
Yeah.
Like, really? It was not very long. So funny. Oh man. But this also, you know, Sophia with her little sweatshirt, I'm ready, you know, like, hurricane a coming, her little, like,
her raincoat,
she lifts the burlap and the shovel, her raincoat, I mean, everything, right? It's like, it's such a fantastic image, and she's just a cute, you know, a cute furry little gnome.
It's so funny. The visual gag of, like, they don't even need to do anything. They put Soga in a raincoat and they're like, shuffle this in and out. And it's funny. Like, it just opens and you know it's going to be like, I don't know, like, from the very beginning you hear the hurricane is a coming. And then, like, you know, it just goes up from there.
It's great. And also playing with the, like, you know, we've seen this before of, like, where, you know, Dorothy's like, I refuse to become an old person. Ooh, rain's coming, you know, with, like, the swollen bones and the barometric pressure, which is, like, it based in reality, right? There's a lot. But I love that it's like, you know, Ida Perlberg, the senior center, woke up this morning with a leg cramp. Need I say more? And that is a funny line in and of itself. But then the fact that it keeps coming back where Dr. Halpern's like, I heard about Ida Perlberg.
I love
it's really great, and it feels right in, like, the funny, it doesn't feel right in that, like, Miami is a fucking huge city, but it does feel right in that, like, this, if you're interacting with older people or in this crowd, that it would have come up more than once, you know?
Yeah, and if you're, like, I feel like it's kind of like the way, like, a rumor spreads across, like, a, you know, like a friend group, like, we all believe it for no reason at all.
But she was right, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she was.
You know, exactly. So if we're going chronologically here, you know, after Sophia sort of explains everything, sets it up, and Dorothy's like, well, it looks beautiful, whatever, and then she pivots to talking about Gloria. This is then where it starts, like, Sophia's so cute, and then me as the, you know, especially the season 7 Dorothy defender, like, looking out for her. This is where it starts. She starts to lose me. Like, when she starts talking about the Gabors and that, like, she just unnecessarily knocks Dorothy down, right? Although I do think it is funny with, like, Phil's in the mix, of course. Not
Ava.
Dorothy. Yes.
it's Jaja's coming to town.
Yes, Jaja's coming to town. Like, it's kind of, it's unnecessary, you know, to put this way. And then, like, the pitting Dorothy and Gloria against each other, both in childhood and now, is, like, it's really rough to hear for me, because to me, it, a lot of this, like, Sophia being so mean and so, like, conniving in this weird way is, like, not, it's not, like, canon for me in my mind, right? Like, she was always an imperfect parent, everyone has been an imperfect parent, whatever, but this one feels a step beyond, and it's a bummer for me, because it's like, it feels like a change from what I had believed about, like, so sort of Sophia, Dorothy, and Gloria together in the past, you know? It almost, like, rewrites my own brain canon based on the first 6 seasons.
So. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think the one, I don't know, like, when Sophia says, you've always been jealous of my good daughter, it's, I do feel that there's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek there with, like, I don't know if it's because the audience laughs or because, like, whatever, but it seems like she's kind of, that's a little bit delivered as a joke, like, you know, like, it's obviously Dorothy's, like, her favorite, but yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, like, it's so mean, it's so, like, I think it does, it almost gets there when they talk, when Sophia talks about how, like, Gloria is not, can't be single, and, like, Gloria needs a man to take care of her and whatever, but she never comes around to, like, but you don't, because you're independent and you're strong, and this is, you know, like, she doesn't get to the other side of it. So I think
Dorothy up.
Right. And you can kind of see it. I think like Angelo's explanation of like the love for one child wanting love for another, that I don't like I think that was the wrong direction to go. But totally think the whole concept of this episode is them, or is Sophia completely disregarding Dorothy's feelings, and then like also like, you know, being happy that Gloria's with Stan, but I will say like Stan is rich now, so it's a new Stan.
Mm-hmm. Not a news Stan. I'll take a Morning Herald anyway. I agree, and I think that, you know, what you were saying of like the way that she comes to the conclusion at the end is following from the same type of themes, which I appreciate that it's some kind of continuity from when we met Gloria number one before. It was the same type of like this animosity and this sort of challenge of like, well, Ma's treating you better, and then in the end it's sort of like she's treating me better because I'm like weaker, essentially. Right,
totally. Right?
Like, and you know, it's like the idea of like she needs a man and she can't handle things herself. We also have to break down her whole money thing in a minute, but
no más dinero.
I think that they try to do it in the same way to kind of come to those same conclusions, but if you are looking at the sort of style of this season, I guess it's just meaner. It just doesn't fully round out before. And I never thought about like what you just said, which is like, you know, she doesn't build up Dorothy enough as she breaks Gloria down, and that is kind of the challenge here. And it's also like I appreciate the fact that like the show constantly shows the same types of mistakes being made with relationships, so I appreciate the fact that it's like Sophia would make the same mistake where it's like she's doing all of this stuff for Gloria and Gloria not understanding how it's affecting Dorothy, so like this is the same idea, so it feels like it should be the same conclusion. I love that earlier Gloria episode. I think it's really satisfying. There's something about this one though where it's too mean, or it's just too sloppy, I guess, like where it doesn't have that same satisfaction. And maybe it's all in that Angelo scene. I think you might be right about that.
I think that's totally right. And I feel like they try to, I don't know, kind of like make it a little more mild when they talk about the stick, and like Sophia also can't really apologize, which is another thing. It's like, that's cute. It's cute when she's like, I'm sorry about those two things. Like, it's endearing, but you can imagine how frustrating it would be, right? If that was your life and like your mom was doing this to you and you couldn't like get a real apology. So yeah, I mean, I think it's the whole story is, kind of hinges on screwing Dorothy, basically, like, you know, like Sophia kind of just, and also like even more than them actually getting together is like the sneaking around and like Sophia suggesting it, and all of it, it's not good.
It hinges on screwing Dorothy, and the like the conclusion and the reunion of, you know, like the healing, if it were, as it were, also hinges entirely on Dorothy making that decision to be okay with it. And which I do find it's kind of cheap, it hinges on the fact that she was like worried about their physical safety. I will say I should expect that from a hurricane episode,
right?
but I think it's just one of like, oh, it's all water under the bridge now because you're alive. You're like, okay.
I think also like
a little bummed.
I think it's nice when Stan, it's interesting because Dorothy actually has resolution with all three of them. She has that moment with Stan where she's like, I don't want to never speak to you again. And like, also Stan
that's
is like, I don't think I'm
satisfying one to me.
I agree. First. And even when Stan's like, I don't love her, like we just really hooked up because she was there, which like, you know, I think that's what would happen, especially like knowing Stan and knowing that Gloria is like in quite a vulnerable position.
Totally.
So it adds up. But yeah, I mean, it's satisfactory that she gets that. Yeah.
It's weird. It's like I guess the most disappointing one is the tying it up with Dorothy and Sophia. I really, they've had so many poignant moments that they're like, Sophia feels more like a caricature in this episode to me than any, more than anything, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right, so let's go to Dr. Well, so, okay, so Gloria's broke, right? Like, we find out, like, after the Zsa Zsa Gabor bit, like, she's out of money from junk bonds, which is, like, such a thing. Yeah, yeah, so she's got no money.
Which means that they, the implication is that she's really bad with money, and she's the one who fucked up all the investments. Like, she just took all of it and did it badly.
Right, put it all in junk bonds.
Yes, all of it. And it's like, ugh, it's just such a bummer to, like, just be like, okay, you really fucked that up so hard anyway. But yeah, so.
Yeah, and Dorothy's like, I'm so happy about that. She's so pleased. And she hears it, yes! It's really funny. It's like.
I know.
You know,
but also, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know that it's like, it's just so, kind of like unfiltered. Like, I feel like, you know, that that's the wrong thing to do, but you're feeling it, and like, you just go with it. Like, yeah,
the way she just expresses it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty great. I know this is like such a reality in our society in America, but like, the like referring to like her taking the bus as like a proxy for poverty,
buses,
it's so fucking annoying. I was so mad about that, and it's like, God damn it, that's the problem we have today. But anyway,
yeah.
I had to call that out for all of the people who want to not be fully dependent on cars for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Well,
buses
also
are
like,
cool. Take
buses are the best. I think it, yeah. I mean, I do think obviously it depends where you are, but yeah, it's funny. And it definitely says something that's all she has to say, right?
Like, I know.
So we know that she's broke, but then Dorothy has to go to the last session with Stan, right? And he's like, she's sort of talking about all this progress he's made and blah blah blah, and it's sort of this through line for a few episodes of like, before we see Fifi, I think, of like Stan making all this wonderful progress and like he's actually kind of working on himself, and you know, like that's going on. And then at the same time, also Rose is like saving the McKinley Lighthouse, which I think it's in part two when Blanche goes off about the windmill, and she loves the windmill. Yes. And it's so funny. It's so Blanche and it's so Rose. Totally. But I just love that Rose is like interested in saving this lighthouse.
It fits so well with her. And I also just like, I love that like, she's like, remember I've been telling you about like it doesn't, no one remembers anything. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a really good like of that era moment too, that we have this telephone happening, because I, you know, when you were talking about the big fanfare of this episode, I'm like, we also have like essentially a variety show thrown into it, you know, and Blanche with all like the phones behind her and stuff. Oh man, like so many memories of just watching like Jerry Lewis. Telephone.
Yeah,
like other, yeah, I mean, so fucking funny. And it's just like, it's funny to me when you think of like just the the capacity for like attention to be focused these days, like the fact that happened. I just feel like my kids will learn about the fact that this happened and people being like, how, why did anybody watch anything like this? This is very
scary. Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, I mean, I love also when it was like, you probably turned it into a manhunt, whatever she says. It's like,
yeah.
It is funny,
Lighthouse.
Yeah, to think about like, yeah, having to fill 8 hours too of TV time, like,
right?
That's a lot. But yeah, and
a lot of time.
Telethons are such a fixture of the time for sure in real life, but they're also like so ripe for sitcom stories. Like, there's definitely a Seinfeld episode about it. Like, I feel like every sitcom has like something like this. So to weave it in with the hurricane too, I think is like. It again, yeah, sort of props this episode up as this like big event of like, it's also the telethon, you know, like, and it like,
oh yeah,
I don't know. I think it's really nicely, they work really nicely together. All these storylines really.
It's woven together. It's really woven together well. It's really funny. going back to good old Fifi. and Stan's progress. I really enjoy, like, I don't know. We talked about before, we love Dr. Halperin. I think he's such a, like, great, you know, like, perfect psychiatrist, like, everything about it, the way he, like, sasses Stan, you know, and, like, you know, the last time we saw him, of, like, him and Dorothy bonding and giggling together. But I just love, like, you know, he sets up this sort of moment where they're not supposed to talk to one another, which I actually think would be a move that, like, a man in his position would do. I mean, hell, these two tried to remarry each other not too long ago, right? Like, I think that's kind of interesting. And I do love the interesting conclude, like, the conclusion where them sell, like, they both go against his advice, I guess, and say, like, we should be in each other's lives. And I think that that's interesting, because it's like, it's progress on both of their parts of, like, ignoring what the doctor ordered, essentially. But, like, I think both scenarios do make sense, which is part of the complication of life and complication of relationships. You're just like, either or, right, actually makes sense. But I do think it's interesting how thrilled Dorothy is to essentially get, like, a prescription for Stan to stay away from her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, and no, she's totally. Like,
what's to talk about? I had to ride in the back seat all the way over.
Yeah.
It's really, it's such a great, like, I'm done. Are we done here? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody's reaction to the monkey, even, like, Rose being like, who's that good-looking monkey with you? Like,
I know.
Everybody kind of, you know, I also, just to go back, I want to point out when Gloria is like, Gloria's kind of like, I don't know, she's like mean without intentionally being mean, I feel like, when she first gets there. But when she's like, no, I'd be a real teacher, that's like such a dig.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, I feel like that and then when she's like, oh, is Stan as crazy as ever? And then Dorothy's like, no, actually he's doing really well. And then he comes in with this, like, traffic cone monkey. Perfect. It's like too good. She'll be at a separate table with the other wives, which is, of course, like, an unbelievable line. But yeah, like, I like the doctor a lot, and I think you're totally right about, like, that makes sense in terms of, like, you know, kind of essentially, like, weaning them off each other, obviously more so for Stan.
Yeah.
But I think it's nice, like, I don't know, speaking as somebody whose parents probably not spoken to each other in two decades, like, it is kind of weird when, like, they share grandchildren, like Dorothy says. And yeah. So it's like, you know, like, they don't want to have to decide, like, are we going to invite them both to, like, the birthday party or something like that. So I think it's very mature of them. And also, like, I think they seem to be in a good place. Like, there doesn't seem to be any weirdness, even though Stan just slept with Gloria. Like, it feels like this is where they're supposed to be. Like, they say, like, they weren't, you know, great when they were getting back together, and they weren't great when they were initially together, and whatever. So I think it's nice that they decide to kind of stay in each other's lives. And the doctor, like, you know, it's really something that we continue to really like him, because, like,
I know, he's not
Dan
great.
And Dorothy bit, and, like,
totally.
All of it is, like, doesn't really add up, but yeah, he's so likable the whole time.
He's just so fun. I mean, he's fun, and he's, I think part of it is, like, the casual nature of it, but also that he's incredibly right about a lot of things. Like, he's, like, you know, ethically ambiguous. However, it does appear that he is a good shrink.
Yeah, so totally.
I think that's what's really interesting.
And he's working with,
he's working with, yeah, he's working with Stan. Like, let's give him some slack here. But it is a very mature decision that they come to. And it's really, it is cathartic for the audience. Was it cathartic? Yeah, I don't know. All right, but going back to Gloria here, right? She comes in clearly defensive, right? Like, her style is to put her sister specifically down, because she is feeling incredibly vulnerable, and, like, mm-hmm. her life is absolutely not what she had thought about or planned, right? And in many ways, she's actually, like, in a Dorothy position at the beginning of season one in terms of rebuilding her life. And they acknowledge that, right? Like, Dorothy acknowledges that, like, she was there too, and she's gonna pick up the pieces of her life and move on. She's gonna have a different life. I do actually like that That's why I think I was saying before, like, of the satisfy of the three, like, sort of healing moments that Dorothy has with both Stan and Gloria and her mother, like, her mother's is the weakest one, even though that's supposed to be the most important one, because she just has these, like, satisfying moments with her, like, with her sister, where she's like, dude, yeah, life sucks, and it changes, and it doesn't turn out the way you expect it to, so fucking, you know, figure it out.
You have no money, you're poor. Yeah. Poor Gloria, literally. It's really funny.
It's true.
It's like, it's night, you know, like, again, like, it's just like you can't help but sort of like feel Dorothy's like satisfaction, and then when she kind of wraps it up, I think I will say, like, there is something I feel like when Gloria initially arrives, and then even in this scene, like, Sophia does seem genuinely happy to have them both there. So there are these like flashes of it, but yeah, it definitely, and I don't know, I think like at the very root of it, I think it is probably true that a lot of parents have a, if you have more than one child, like one kid needs a little more of, you know, X thing. And like the other one doesn't really need it. So they don't get it. It's like classic, like birth order stuff. Like Gloria is the baby. So she like gets like, you know, Sophia like feels like she needs to baby her a little bit more, and Dorothy's like the strong oldest girl, so like nobody's like, you know, there's like all these memes about are you well adjusted or are you just an oldest daughterhood, you know, like there's all of these like,
yes exactly, it's
definitely an archetype, and I think like Dorothy and Gloria kind of fall into that, so some of it I think is a little, I don't know if that makes it better or worse, but like some of it feels like a little inevitable.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I would, you know, I feel like there's worth pointing out,
a grain of salt. Yes.
Yeah. But it is like, I don't know, when Dorothy's like, I'm going to introduce Gloria to some men, it's like, it's not even funny how much Sophia laughs. Like, it's not a good, it's just like so flat, you know, there's no depth to it
without being that funny. Like I can take the mean jokes if there's more depth to them.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that just feels mean for no reason. Right. And it's like, yeah, it's just a bummer. Like, it's interesting. Like compare that moment of like, oh, you know, Dorothy doesn't know men, she can't get a date, to like the like, you know, should I wear the chain to the pearls, the sign that's, you know, too ugly to live. Like, that scene is so funny, and it's at Dorothy's expense, right? And granted, like, part of what's also funny is that she just fires right back with self-deprecating humor, as we dissected all those episodes ago when that came up. But it's like, there's not a lot of opportunity here for her to punch back, I guess.
Right, that's true.
Have those funny moments. It's just very like cutting her down, really. And that's what I was saying before, of like the end of it, the resolution comes from her just being a bigger person for all fucking three of her relationships, and like, she's not responsible for all these people, and yet she takes that upon herself. And I mean, more power to her, because like at this point, you know, I've always wondered about the like, listen, despite you not being attracted to Stan anymore, despite whatever, like, that's still fucked up that like he knew your sister all those years and then they sleep together. I really don't think you'd just be like, whatever. Like, I mean, what? Yeah. Like, they're still family, right? The whole like children, grandchildren, they're still around. He's gonna see them. Yeah, it's like, it's just really gross. And it's like, she has every right to just be angry, even if like Stan's not her property, very much like Stan, you know, going out with Blanche again all those episodes ago with Magenta, right? That was an interesting exploration of sort of these gray area feelings, magenta area feelings, I should say. And there's no exploration here. It almost is like the point where Dorothy's just like, all right, whatever, you're alive, it's fine. I'm gonna be the bigger person because I can't fucking handle this anymore. You know, it seems like she's almost resigned. Like, she's like, I'm not even gonna process it because you're all insane, and I am not.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think the Blanche and Stan thing is even better and more is like deeper, because like they're friends, like they actually form a relationship where they just like hanging out, and that makes Dorothy jealous, which is interesting because I think I don't get the sense that Dorothy's jealous, even though she says she is. I think she's more angry, and like
she's more angry,
which I think totally checks out with where she is with Stan. And it's just like so typical I think like the stick thing, Scout, is funny, but I think that that is probably indicative of a dynamic that has existed their whole lives, which, like, you know, I know that it is bad. I think it's pretty bad, like, psychological practice to be like, you always do this, but it's really hard not to. And like Gloria right. always does something like this.
yes, exactly.
I want to talk quickly about how like
psychological practice.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do it. Dr. Hoffer will tell you. It's really bad for relationships. When they go to, it's really funny also that Blanche is, when they cut back to the TV station, so like going to chronologically through the episode, and Blanche is like, thank you to the woman who appears to be like a very good singer and like only interested in men getting cast. Like it's really funny.
It is funny.
And then like, it's so bizarre that they all are just like hanging out there. Like Gloria pops down to the TV station, like before it's a shelter, they're all just there.
Of course.
Which makes no sense. And then Gloria and Dorothy have this like seemingly kind of healing moment where they talk at the TV station, but obviously like we all know what's coming. And right. I think there is a bit of like, even when you're watching this episode for the first time, like there's clearly something like in the air that's going to like the other shoe's going to drop.
Yeah. It's going to come down. I mean, Dorothy Zbornak is the master of her own destiny. I mean, like talk about a line that's the, you know, the pride before the fall, like Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. He's off the monkey.
The gravity. Yeah. It's really funny. But yeah, that conversation with Gloria, the whole like one frightening gaping maw, right? Which is, by the way, what a great wordplay, you know, as a werewolf, we have, not only do we have the cathartized but the frightening gaping maw is like, oh, it's so lovely.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really a great conversation. But yeah, it's disappointing because there is, it's so funny now. I came into this being like knocking the whole vibe of like Dorothy getting knocked down and having to be the bigger person. But there are these really lovely moments. Like there are these little, like what I have come to expect from this show. They're all peppered throughout there. I think it's just like when they're stitched together, some of the character development falls flat to me, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, so should we, well, so Dorothy catches them in bed and passes out.
Yeah. it was a funny gag.
Yeah, so should
also
we jump to part two?
Really hard to like faint. Like that was good. Yeah. Like she turned around, land on the bed, everything about it was great.
Also, why in Dorothy's bed? I have to ask.
I mean,
Dan lives in Miami.
For real.
Go to Stan's house.
For real.
So annoying.
Oh god. Anyway.
Also, is Gloria living there at their house, like while she gets settled?
She has no money, so I would assume so, right?
Yeah.
And no M-O-N-E-Y.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah.
So good.
Stan actually looks really good in the nightgown, I gotta say.
I know, it's always such a good gag when he's wearing it. And it's funny, I like it because it's funny by itself. Like you don't need to make a joke out of it, but he wears it very well. He seems quite comfortable in it, which I think is great. I also want to call out
there also is something about like a straight man being like, I have no qualms clothes. About, you know, like women's clothes or like, it doesn't cut down my masculinity if I wear.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah,
yes,
totally.
Exactly. There's an attraction there. Anyway.
There's some good like wind blowing. Behind, like beyond the immediate scene and like out the windows on the lanai, there's like you can see like you remember it's a hurricane.
Yeah, exactly.
Miami gets hurricanes also. Like you would think these people would be more prepared.
Yeah, for sure. I know, right? I mean, this I don't know. I think you could probably say that about. You know, anybody in Florida, not anybody in Florida, but a lot of people in Florida today where it's like, oh my gosh, again? Like,
yeah, man. Right.
Like,
well,
sorry. That's just kind of where it's at.
It's almost like the climate is changing.
Almost like the climate is changing. Anyway, when whatchamacallit, when Stan is like telling Dorothy why, and like the moment of vulnerability, whatever, the hurricane comment, and like she's like, Stan, you big bald girl. Like, yeah. It's funny because I don't like, it's a total misogynistic insult. Yeah. Right? Like, I normally don't like that kind of thing, but it's so funny. Like,
yeah, it works.
It's really funny because, again, it's such a cheap joke on the page, but B. Arthur just takes it and it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it's really
no
great.
I agree.
Talk about Carol.
Yeah, Matt, we gotta call out Matt Browning, our resident empty nest expert.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, Carol comes over and she's like, I think this is the first because we've seen Barbara, right?
We've seen Barbara, but not Carol.
Carol has not been on it yet. Yeah, so she's like, you know, I think, which, like, honestly, I think if you've never seen Empty Nest, you can kind of get from her character, like, she's pretty neurotic, and like, she, like, you know, like, I feel like it does come through even in this small bit. Really funny that she's dating the doctor. Great way to weave her in.
Yes.
And like, obviously also, like, I don't know, the Dan and Morrissey bit is so funny. And also because we know Dr. Halperin, and like, we know that he like kind of takes it like not so seriously, you know, so like, yeah. I don't know, I think it's so funny that whole
no more calls, she, we have a winner.
When she comes out of the kitchen, she's like, oh, you're Dan and Morrissey.
I know, and she like breaks it down.
And so then funny. The doctor's like at a discount because of the Dan and Morrissey thing.
it's really good, like, and that's why he's so endearing. Like, he's like a skeezball in this like really unethical way, and like just like so like whatever, like, you know, he really listens, she really talks, you know, I mean, just like so stereotypical, but he's so funny and he's such a good deliverer of all those lines. It's perfect.
Yeah. And when he like first finds out, he's like, mazel for being off the monkey, like,
yes, exactly. The introduction of Carol is so interesting because it's absolutely done in the assumption that you already know who she is, which is so weird for like a show today, right? Like, you can't assume, you can't have a character, every, you know, our whole, as we've talked about multiple times, like our entire field of entertainment is so diverse and so divided that like there's no way to know that if you're watching this show you're probably watching that show, etc., right? They might make some callbacks to like a really old established show and a reference that almost everyone's gonna get, like The Simpsons or Jeopardy, right? Or like something, yeah, like that. But like having something here with like that show's on the air, because she comes in and she goes, you know me, when is it a good time? And it like that could work for like a new character, because like the audience can play along and get it, right? And you pick up what she's putting down, like you say, you can tell she's neurotic from moment one. But that there is like an in-joke for watchers of Empty Nest, which is, yeah, so interesting, you know.
Yeah,
anyway, wanted to call that out first.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole, like, I think it just you know, like, that's the point really of the crossover, like that's yes, where it is in this at least in the Golden Girls.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think she's really well positioned.
Can I talk about strict Freudians? Which is funny that like they're like Freud's, like most of Freud's stuff has been like disproven, but he has actually kicked off an entire field of study, which is so weird and funny. But I just love when he's like, it would, you know, strict Freudians would call it a codependence transference, but if you ask me, men are pigs. And it's,
yeah,
like really, really great. That's another endearing Dr. Halperin, like, you know, just bit. But it reminds me, it's so funny, it reminds me of my great grandmother. My mom told a story that she was just talking about, you know, like basically the amount of children that she had that somebody else had or something, and she was just like, men are dogs. Like, it was just like really funny hearing this about my great grandmother, you know, and it just like reminds me of that exact story. It's like, you know, hashtag not all men, everyone, but like, right, it's really interesting that Dr. Halperin pulls that out as a man, right? And it's like, it gives him this perspective that he has, right, as a shrink but also as a person. And it's I love it. I love that little bit. I'm just like,
yeah,
like he acknowledges this is good for his client Stan, but it's also just like, sorry, collateral damage of other women.
Right. And it's like, and then I think it is, I think it's probably a really sort of gray area for a lot of like therapists of like, this yes. behavior can be explained by like your particular damage or like your particular patterns, but like there still needs to be an accountability for it. And like, yes, obviously that's correct. Reading a lot into this very funny brief line, but I think that's kind of what it is of like, it is. Yeah, you know, like it definitely, like there's an emotional reason for it, but also like he just like sloppy and he just, you know, like I think it's
sloppy
really like,
is right.
Yeah.
That is absolutely right. Anyway, all right, back to the telephones.
Yeah, let's go to my, I never thought I'd grow a hair there.
Oh my God. What the hell is that? It is a shame we don't hear more of that song, you know.
I know. Out, but, $50 if you will stop singing. Yeah.
Also, the 555 easy is like such a cheap joke, but it is very funny.
It works though. It really does.
It works really well.
Yeah, I love it. And I do like, I don't know, it's funny, like they have to fill the time because they don't have any entertainment. And so they're just kind of scrambling. Public television, man, like what a, I, first of all, like great time for me to plug that I'm a monthly donor to PBS and I really love public TV. But it's just like, so, I don't know. I think they do a really good job, like even with the board and also like the, I think it's like 8 phones, but only Blanche is there to answer the phones.
I know, exactly. It's really funny. Actually, that visual, like from the props department, like well done.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole set really good.
Seriously. But okay, so then, well, I guess let's keep talking about the telethon for a minute. The cricket guy is incredible.
Can't do it on TV.
It's my favorite though. Like this, the delivery of like the lack of enthusiasm is like, note the difference.
It's yeah,
really, really great. And then of course, like the sum up of everything of just like, well, here's an item particularly of note, you know, the Kimmy Lighthouse has been completely destroyed. And then she's like giddily says it and everybody has to second guess. It's that classic, you know, comedic technique of somebody says something, they don't realize what they said. But I just love that. That's not good for us.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's very understated. It's like a perfect way to end this like ridiculous, like, you know, B story.
Like, yeah.
But it's really fun.
Yeah, I love it.
Mean, I would say like that's almost like the C story because the B story is just the hurricane. It's
yeah,
like kind of amazing. Yeah. The tumultuousness around these characters.
Yeah. But, no, the telethon's great. I love it. I'm so glad they have a telethon storyline. I think I said earlier, but like I love when Blanche is like, it's a passion for that windmill that you won't understand.
That's right.
And then obviously there's Chester on camera too. Share with
yeah,
me, Chester.
Exactly. Share
with iconic. Yeah. Okay. So that's wrapped up. R.I.P. to the lighthouse.
R.I.P.
So okay, let's go back to their house. I love that Dorothy and Gloria, like they're storm prepping. It's just them both carrying hammers around. Like I know they're gonna board up the windows, but it's like that's it. That's all they got.
That's all we got. Oh my God, insane. But I do also like the whole conversation with Sophia, right, where it's like in some societies they leave their elderly out for large birds to feed on. Where do we draw the line? Right before the large bird thing. That one's like really, really great.
Yeah, it's really good.
But again, like, you know, I gotta fetch about you know, Sophia here, where it's like, you know, Dorothy's like, you never take my feelings into consideration, which is exactly what we said before, right? You know,
yeah,
she's only thinking of Gloria at this moment, and it's like, oh, Dorothy can handle it, whatever. And then I don't know, Sophia's just being an ass. She just walks out in the hurricane. It's totally like
oh my God, so annoying.
It's so annoying and unwarranted compared to the other arguments we've seen. Like I think that this is the hard part, is that this show is usually written so well in terms of like we can actually see both sides of a conflict, but this one they don't build Sophia's side up enough. So that's why I'm just like, I could easily see her being an ass and like just like, you know, going out into the hurricane to spite Dorothy, but like there's nothing that she should be mad at Dorothy about. Like what? Come on. Like there's not even anything. There's not, they don't give her side to run.
I know.
She's just being a jerk.
I totally agree. And also it's like, Sophia's been scared of this hurricane for like a week. Like, if there is a Tuesday, like, it doesn't make sense that she would just also, like, it's just so,
yeah,
that Dorothy doesn't even say anything that cutting. Like, she's mad, but it's not, it's totally, it's like another, like, I'm gonna move out because you're getting too many phone calls. Like, it just, it doesn't make any sense. And like, Sophia knows it's gonna be a bad hurricane, you know, it just, it doesn't add up to me.
That is actually funny because I love that you said, like, her walking out does feel a lot of like those threats to move out. It's really, it's the same vibe where you're just like, come on, like, no one believes it on this end of the television set.
Yeah, she's so enthusiastic. Like, she's got, like you said, like the sweatshirt, take me to Hurricane, amazing. She's like wearing the zip up, like she's prepared for it. It's obviously, and then she has that bit of like, which is also like not a great scene when she goes to Angelo's and they open the door in the entrance box. She's like, we're gonna die. So she like has some fear about it.
Yeah,
it's a total overreaction.
It's very strange.
Should we talk about let's talk about the cops.
Yes,
because I love when they initially show up and Dorothy's like, my brother, and he's like, no ma'am, I'm a police officer. It's really funny.
that one is actually really funny. What do you think? Well first of all, let's talk about the younger cop.
Yeah,
the Arthur's son, right?
Yeah, huge trivia little, bit Matthew Sachs.
Fun little fan favorite Easter egg.
He kind of, I think, really like cute. yeah I was trying to see if they had any like, you know, like a dynamic or anything that I could pick up on, and I didn't really get much of it, which is you know, that's a testament to both of their acting skills.
Exactly, there you go. But what do you think of the whole like Blanche's bedroom bit, like that gag?
I think it's funny when he's like, nah, I let him see it himself.
It's funny, the audience actually doesn't laugh like that hard.
I know,
I actually don't think it fits. I think it's kind of just unrealistic for like the show, and it's like there is this conceit, like, I guess I'm saying I agree with the audience because it's like funny in and of itself, I guess, but also it's kind of gross, but whatever. But it's like, in the sort of like world of the show, there is some sort of conceit that Blanche has a reputation, but like it is saying that her reputation is such as that like no man is safe. Like, she's going to eventually sleep with him. It's just like, it's just weird. It takes me to a weirder place. Like, now I'm literally laughing as I describe it, so I guess I think it's funnier than I originally thought. But I did think it was interesting that the audience doesn't actually laugh that hard.
Yeah, but I would say that it's kind of the same thing as like when in why am I blanking on the title of the murder mystery episode? Case of Libertine Bell. The cop is like, I'm not familiar with her sexual proclivities, and Sophia's like, what are you, a rookie? Right. Like, I feel like it's the same premise, really. Or like, even when Stevie's there and they're like, yeah, the dugout was right, I am having a good time. Like, I think there's a lot of, I think maybe it's just kind of like in the middle of this storyline that's happening, like a big plot point, or it's just like not, the timing isn't right or something like that. But I thought it was funny. I felt like they did a good job at like kind of going on like some bigger context of the viewers of the show would know. But I mean, I guess I would agree that it's like out of place. You don't need it. You definitely don't need it.
But I think, you know, it's funny, you comparing it to the case of the Libertine Bell, which I fucking love that line, as I said at the time, the proclivities. I think what I find grosser about it, which is why it doesn't strike me as funny, is that you could view it in this way that, like, the men are, like, using Blanche. Right,
of
like, where he's like, let him be surprised, right, from that side of a power dynamic, as opposed to her choosing to sleep with every man. Like, it almost feels like the whole police force is like, not like in a gangbang situation, but like, you know, like there's something really gross about it there with like the
that's
two
fair.
Men discussing it. So I think that that's, I think I hit it, I think that's what it was. So thank you,
like a little bit of locker room talk. Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway,
they fucking Stan and Gloria go to bed again in Dorothy's bed. Like, Dorothy is the only sane one in this episode.
I know. So frustrating.
It is interesting, too, because we didn't actually talk about it, but when we, you know, flashing forward, this is the same type of format in terms of both the very special NBC Saturday and like emptiness crossover as Moonlight Madness later, right? And there is something about, you know, in that episode where it's like there's a bit of madness going on, people are acting crazy, and it's like sort of the same thing with like the hurricane, right? It's like the same outside forces acting on these people, which is so funny, but it's also just like such a fucking excuse, you know, like them going to bed together again. It's so dumb.
Right. And again, like to bring up my earlier point, like there are hurricanes in Miami. You shouldn't be like, you can be prepping and you can be nervous and whatever, but it shouldn't affect your behavior so much so that you're like, I'm just acting erratic because it's raining. It's like, okay. Yeah,
exactly. I do love like the second sleeping together for me is like really worth it for like Dorothy sort of losing it, but also the Stan being like, you know, hey, there were some memories. It's like, well, I have to tell you, you were there.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's really great.
There's a lot of like cop jokes, right? So like initially it's like, oh, off, man, to shoot these people, which is like, I think in a different time, really maybe. Yeah. And then she's like, but then it's so revealing when they're like, we can only shoot looters. Oh god.
Wow. That hits so hard. But, and it's still funny where she's like, Stan, pick up the TV.
Yeah, it is. And then the pig joke when Stan's like, I'm a pig in this kid. I think it's Dorothy Zen is like, what precinct?
What precinct?
That's funny. So we get at least one.
Really amazing. It's really amazing. I know. I've never like vacillated so much by being like, woof, that's too real. And being like, but it's also funny.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
It's very yo-yoing. But. Another like sort of, you know, interesting facet of our society, but also like the point when Sophia goes to Angelo, yet another like set, we're just rolling in the dough here.
I know.
Season seven, where she's like, I'm in trouble, then the boy will marry you.
It's so funny. I love that.
It's incredible. Like Angelo has a lot of great lines of moments here, but like if he only showed up to deliver that one, that would be so great.
Yeah, I love it. It's so funny. And like, I don't know, even then the conversation kind of continues where they're talking about how Dorothy's at a difficult age, and like it continues to sort of hold up. We're talking about this stick and Angelo's, oh my God. we come from a poor family. Yeah, Angelo's great.
He's great. And that the delivery of the boy we come from a poor family line is, it's literally just a parenthetical that would literally naturally happen if someone's telling you a story like that. It was really great. Like he really nails it in terms of making it feel like it is a joke, but he makes it feel totally natural within the context of the scene, I think, you know, which is, I can't say that for every part of this episode because it is pretty goofy at times.
Totally. The dig at the Italian army, which they do a lot. I feel like, help.
It's really great. Oh my God. You mean Scout? You know where Scout is? The stick bit is very good.
Yeah, the stick bit's funny.
I know. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about before, the resolution of it all is like kind of flat, whatever. And it's like, there is the bit again, Angelo sort of stands out as a great character. That's part of this too. When like Stan is so gross and he's like, I've had both of them. And he just looks at him with this like look of disgust. And I actually think Angelo's look is more powerful than either like Dorothy or Gloria's look. Like it's actually pretty great. You know, like the reaction that wise, but yeah, it's so gross.
Because I think Stan is trying to look at him like, you know, bro, like not like it, and he's like not. He's like,
these
God,
are my
gross.
Nieces, gross asshole.
Yeah,
like come on, get new friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Somebody else. Jesus Christ.
I know.
Come on, news Stan.
Yeah, you got money now, buddy.
Right.
And then it's just like the hurricane's breaking up, and everyone go home.
I know, there's like, it's just the resolution's kind of blah. I don't know, I kind of wish the frightening gaping maw conversation had happened at the end, it would feel a lot more satisfying. But like I said before, it just, it's like very just like, damn, Dorothy, you're a big person, because these assholes are so like conniving and you just deserve more, you know. And this, again, having nothing to do with, like, you know, whatever, Stan can sleep with whoever he wants and so can Gloria. It's just that the choices, there are consequences for those, and part of the consequences is you made things really fucking weird with your sister. And the same goes for Sophia and meddling and encouraging it there. You know, there are other men in the sea.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what is, again, to speak about Dorothy's character, like, she, I'm sure in her heart of hearts, she wishes Sophia could be a little more direct with the apology, but I think she knows Sophia and I think she knows the situation. And so, like, she kind of takes what she can get, and like, it does seem like she truly, like, forgives everybody, which is, like, you know, again, like, such a really taking the high road there.
Yes, correct.
You ever get a nosebleed? but I think it's, like, I don't know, it's cute. I don't love that Sophia's like, you two hug her, I'm going outside. It's, like,
I know, it's so manipulative. It's, and you're like, didn't so we learn something? Didn't we learn anything, dude? Come on.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I think that all of that being true, like, I just think it's so funny.
It's a really fun ride.
I think if you, the Monkey Show is definitely in my top 10.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I would probably say the same. We're top 15, I think, for me.
Yeah. But all right.
Just because I can't get past the fact that Dorothy's done dirty. We have a few lines I want to call out and bits that we didn't cover. Just that I need to call attention, even though it already appeared in an episode, at least one, in season 7, Blanche has a new book prop. It's a very flowery cover. She's finally read, you know,
she finally got through it.
Satterley's Lover. Yeah, exactly. So she's got a new one. In the beginning, where it's like, Blanche is talking to Dorothy and she's like, you know, you talk about shrinks, like, you wear a negligee, they think you want to sleep with them. Dorothy just goes, why aren't you arrested more? It's really great. And then the only other thing is the whole, like, you know, talking about the guy she dated, she's like, I remember the passion, yes. And it's like, what happened? He took off the goofy head. That is, like, that line before is always, it's always been funny to me, but I'm like, this time I'm like, oh, it's kind of like sort of a furry thing, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. And she's like kind of looking down, like as though she's a bit, like, I don't know, embarrassed almost. Yeah, it's,
yes, exactly. But it's pretty great.
I want to call out when she's like, I totally cut off his sex. And yes, Rose is like, you made it grow back.
That's right.
Really good.
Oh, it's wonderful. Anything else?
No, I think we got it all.
All right. The M-O-N-E-Y show. What a fun ride.
My self-respect and my time. Monkey. So good.
Well, join us next time where we're going to discuss Stop You Up tablets, dandies, and how humming is free music. Take care, everybody.